But after delivering this bomb, Mo, she grudgingly laid in a course and let the car do its swinging thing before turning around slowly to face me.
"Who are you really? And what do you want with me?"
"I'm who I said I was. Someone brought into your little game to add some well-needed equality." Her hand moved quickly to the side of my head, evidence of either bravery or considerable stupidity, given the proximity of my gun to her skull and my demonstrated eagerness to use it. She rubbed the place where Dominica had excised the hunt implant.
"It's not there," Chantrell said, "if it ever was."
"Then Waverly lied to me as well." I observed her face for an anomalous reaction, but my use of the man's name did not seem to strike her as unreasonable. "He never put the device in at all."
"Then who are we following?"
"How am I supposed to know? You don't use the implants to track your prey, do you? Or is that some new refinement I wasn't aware of?" As I spoke, the car made one of its intermittent sickening swoops, leaping between cables which were just a shade too far apart for comfort. Chantrell did not even flinch. "Do you mind if I call for help for my friends?"
"Be my guest," I said.
She sounded more nervous making the call than at any point since we had met. Instead, Chantrell spun a story about going down into the mulch to film a documentary she was making, and how she and her friend had been waylaid by a gang of vicious juvenile pigs. She said this with such conviction that I almost believed it myself. "I'm not going to harm you," I said, wondering how plausible I sounded. "I just want some information from you. Information of a very general nature which it won't hurt you to provide. And then I want you to take me somewhere in the canopy."
"I don't trust you."
"Of course you don't. I know I wouldn't, and I'm not asking you to. I'm not putting you in a situation in which your trust of me is even remotely relevant. I'm just pointing a gun to your head and giving you orders." I licked my lips, thirsty and dry. "You either do what I say or you get to redecorate the interior of this car with your cranium. It's not the hardest choice in the world, is it?"
"What do you want to know?"
"Tell me about the game, Chantrell. I've heard Waverly's side of it, and what he said sounded very reasonable. But I want to be sure I'm getting the whole picture. You're capable of that, aren't you?" As it was, Chantrell was eloquent. Part of this I put down to the natural helpfulness which befalls anyone with a gun at their head. But a lot more of it, I thought, stemmed from the fact that Chantrell rather liked the sound of her own voice. And I could not really fault her for that. It was a very nice voice, and it came out of a very comely head. Her family line was Sammartini, which I learned was one of the major clans in the pre-plague power structure, a lineage which extended right back to the Americano era. Families who could trace their descents that far back were highly regarded, the closest thing to royalty in the rarefied heights of Belle Époque society. Her family had connections with the most famous clan of all, the Silvestres. I remembered Sibylline telling me about Calvin, the man who had resurrected the forgotten and discredited technologies of neural scanning, which enabled the living to be translated, fatally, as it happened, into immortal computer simulations of themselves. Of course, it hadn't really bothered the transmigrants that their bodies were destroyed in the course of the scanning, but when the simulations themselves started to fail, no one was quite so happy. There had been 79 volunteers in the first wave of transmigrants, 80, if you counted Calvin himself, and the majority of those simulations had stopped running long before the plague began to attack the logical substrates on which they were being computed. To commemorate the dead, they had built a vast and dejected monument to the 80 in the center of the city, where shrines of the departed were tended by those relatives who remained corporeal. It was still there, after the plague had come. The family of Chantrell Sammartini were among